specialized warehouse structures or services. The following discussion provides common examples of specialized warehouse structures or service types, but many other types exist in the ever-evolving marketplace. Most types of warehouses offer some selection of the more standard value-added services, such as portals with application programming interfaces, vendor-managed inventory and customer tracking of stock, inventory reporting, and reverse logistics. Specialized warehouse structures. Specialized warehouses include non-traditional structures. One tends to think only of the traditional image of a big box warehouse, but these structures may not be buildings at all, and some are only used on a temporary basis. Examples of non-traditional warehouse structures include steel silos for grain storage, pressurized gas storage spheres or pill shapes, liquid storage containers such as for storing petroleum or dairy products, tents or inflatable structures that protect inventory items from the elements for a short period of time, such as for seasonal inventory stored outside an already full warehouse, an open yard or three-sided building for bulk inventory storage, such as mineral deposits used to produce fertilizer, warehouses with high compliance requirements. Specialized warehouses can be designed to meet the needs of products that have stringent compliance requirements. For example, pharmaceutical manufacturing for human and veterinary use is highly regulated. Pharmaceutical products are considered very vulnerable to contamination or degradation if stored in the wrong conditions or for too long. Chain of custody documentation needs to be reliable all the way to the proper delivery to the right addressee. Regulations ensure the products are stored in the right conditions during storage, handling, and transport, and that proper product turnover is enforced. The World Health Organization, WHO, and European Medicine Agency's International Harmonization Council called the ICH, the EU, US, and Japan are on this council, have been driving harmonized standards called Good Manufacturing Practices, GMP, for the pharmaceutical industry. Government agencies may set regulatory standards based on these GMP. In the U.S., the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, regulates current good manufacturing practices, GMP, under Title 21 of the Code of Federal Regulations, Parts 210 and 211. U.S. GMP covers both good manufacturing and good distribution. In the EU, the European Medicines Agency, EMA, enforces similar EU GMP directives, laws for manufacturing storage. The EU has separate good distribution practice, GDP directives for wholesale distribution of pharmaceuticals. Both the US and EU GMP are essentially more strict and regulated versions of the GMP. Failure to comply with the laws underlying these GMP can result in significant legal penalties. The word current in the name means that warehouses need to keep their technologies, for example, to prevent mix-ups, contamination, or errors, up to date. For example, GMP indicates that a typical pharmaceutical warehouse is laid out with the following segregated areas: quarantine, rejected, recalled, dangerous goods, restricted goods, kept locked, cold room with a quarantine sub-area, sampling booth, released. Here are some paraphrased selected principles from the GMP that apply to pharmaceutical warehousing. Follow written procedures for all materials handling, receipt, quarantine, sampling, storage, labeling, dispensing, processing, packaging, distributing. Use controls to ensure the correct picking of product and pick product while it has an appropriate remaining shelf life. Use the first expiry, first out, FEFO, principle for stock rotation and document all exceptions. Use quality control to investigate all damage to containers. Physically and administratively quarantine materials until they're released for use or distribution. Handle intermediate and bulk materials as though they were starting materials. Store all materials and products under the conditions established by the manufacturer in ways that allow batch segregation and stock rotation. Avoid operations on different products simultaneously unless there is no risk of mix-up or cross-contamination. Protect products and materials from microbial or other contamination. Prevent generation or dissemination of dust from dry products. Unambiguously and clearly identify the production use, production stage, and batch as applicable for all materials, bulk containers, and dedicated equipment. Use clear labels that indicate status such as batch/lot number or serial number, expiry date, quarantines, accepted, rejected, and so on. Restrict access to authorized personnel. Institute technical measures to avoid cross-contamination, including separate HVAC, separate utilities as needed, closed systems, physical barriers, dedicated equipment and filters, equipment designed for easy cleaning, airlocks, and no air recirculation for areas with airborne contaminants and segregation of washing, drying, and storage areas. Cold chain warehouses. Cold chain warehouses are designed and engineered to maintain inventory that would spoil at higher temperatures, such as frozen foods. These warehouses are more expensive to build and operate because of increased structural equipment, including personal equipment for workers, and energy costs. These warehouses require expensive heating, cooling, and ventilation systems to monitor and balance warehouse conditions. Cold chain warehouses include these subtypes. The ranges shown are common, but there is no global consensus. Controlled room temperature, 15 to 25 to 59 to 77, or 15 to 30 to 59 to 86. Refrigerated, 2 to 8 to 36 to 46. Frozen, minus 20, minus 4, to minus 10 to 14. Deep frozen, less than minus 25, typically minus 80 or minus 40. Minus 112 or minus 40. Cryo storage, less than minus 196, minus 321. Inventory in a controlled room temperature warehouse area can include fresh produce, medicines, or sensitive electronics whose parts might be subject to corrosion at higher humidity levels. Controlled room temperature, therefore, also has humidity control. Deep frozen or cryo storage area uses include biological products such as vaccines. Bonded warehouses, customs warehousing. Although the definition of bonded warehouses in the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary is oriented toward the U.S., they are a feature of global supply chains. Globally, they may be referred to as customs warehousing. Bonded warehouses are buildings or parts of buildings designated by the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury for storing imported merchandise. These areas are operated under U.S. Customs and Border Protection supervision. By holding products in a bonded warehouse or customs warehousing under any other name, an organization may delay paying associated duties and avoid needing to comply with other commercial policies, such as an import license, until the products are transferred out of the warehouse. The storage may be for an unlimited amount of time, with exceptions for goods that could become unsafe or cause environmental damage if held too long. While in the warehouse, the goods are subject to customs supervision. Items are often insured against accidental loss or theft, though organizations must verify that any insurance agreements are dictated within the contract governing the terms of storage. Note that a free trade zone, or foreign trade zone, FTZ, is a sort of virtual bonded warehouse. It may be a geographic area that contains many warehouses, because these areas are created by governments to encourage foreign investment, and they also allow organizations to delay the payment of a duty while that product remains within the FTZ. FTZs are discussed elsewhere. Dangerous goods, hazmat warehouses. Dangerous goods, hazmat warehouses are designed to manage the risks posed by handling and storing materials that could cause human and environmental harm, such as explosive, flammable, oxidizing, radioactive, or toxic. A dangerous goods warehouse will have operating procedures that are specific to the given regulatory jurisdiction and the types of materials being stored and handled. Many regulatory bodies follow the International Maritime Dangerous Goods, IMDG code. Handling of risks related to dangerous goods is usually defined in local regulations. However, as warehouses will be receiving and shipping goods, warehouse workers will also need to have a good understanding of transportation regulations, which may include national codes as well as international dangerous goods codes that are based on UN regulations. These will impose specific packaging, loading, and documentation requirements. A primary issue with dangerous goods warehouses is to enable proper segregation of goods. Segregation charts should be followed. Some segregation rules will require incompatible goods to be stored a certain number of meters apart from other goods, while others will need to be stored in different compartments, for example, separating walls, and still others cannot be stored in the same building or an attached building. There may also be requirements for safety cabinets, eyewash stations, reporting requirements for local authorities, and so on. While fire and excessive heat prevention is very important in any warehouse for hazardous material storage, Extra fire precautions may be needed to prevent explosions. These buildings may have enhanced security to prevent intrusion and specialized physical features such as ventilation and air pressure systems that prevent emissions outside the warehouse or from areas within the warehouse. Drainage systems to capture and contain spills. Air quality monitoring and alarm systems. Advanced fire suppression systems and the right type of fire prevention equipment for the materials. Different compartments within the warehouse to create firewalls for incompatible dangerous goods. Special training on the properties of hazardous substances, proper conduct near the substances, for example, no horse player smoking, and proper use of personal protection equipment or safety equipment. Automated capabilities. Automated capabilities within a warehouse leverage technology to perform warehouse operations. The degree to which automation is used will vary greatly, and for many specialized warehouses, it is a necessary feature, the only way they can accomplish certain activities or a capability that distinguishes them from competitors. Automated warehouses depend on standardized product packaging and labeling that is strictly followed. For example, a national distribution center for cereals in Australia might automatically receive unit loads from the factory next door. The pallets are stored and retrieved via automation and are not touched again by employees until they are transported to the store. Automation could include mechanized systems that support retrieval of stock from storage or provide specific instructions to warehouse personnel. It could be an automated storage/retrieval system, AS/RS, defined by the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a high-density rack inventory storage system that uses vehicles to automatically load and unload the racks. AS/RS can be used in parts of warehouses or throughout the facility.